right, welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Green Room Podcast, the late night edition here, I guess early morning on Friday, following, a game for the ages in the NCAA tournament, Sweet 16 game. Ended up one of those games where you just didn't want it to end. No matter who won, you just didn't want it to end. Yeah. It was so much fun to watch, but it did end. It didn't end well for Michigan State. 98-93 losers to Kansas State in overtime. I believe the first overtime game of the tournament. And what a game. I mean, I don't know how I don't know how you write a game story for this game, Matt. when it was just – I mean, it was literally, a 12-round heavyweight title bout. I mean, that's what it felt like. I mean, it was just one blow after another. In the end, I mean – Michigan State made the plays, but, made some big plays. Obviously, the big bucket by Walker to get to overtime. They came out well in overtime. But just tonight, Kansas State made every big shot the entire night, it seemed like. Course, led by their point guard, just an unbelievable effort by Mr. Noel. I mean, and nothing more he could have done. 20 points, but 19 assists. He just found, the passing ability of that guy, but we'll talk about it. But just, it had to be, you've covered this beat for a long time. You've covered Final Fours. You've covered big games. I can't imagine you've seen a whole lot of games that were that spectacular.
I'm trying to think what it would be like to – And I always wonder for a fan, like, is it tougher to swallow these? And when you had chances, I mean, when Tyson Walker hit that three in overtime to put them up three, I thought, well, they get a one stop here is all they need, and they're going to win.
Well, there were a lot of points, and if you get there were a lot of points where you felt like if they get one stop, and they just Kansas State would just
the problem was
that to happen.
They couldn't get a stop. No, but I. Yeah, I always wonder, is it tougher for a Michigan State fan to swallow that? Or if you just got, your ass handed to you, you're part of this classic game and everyone's going to talk about that game, but you lost it. You know what I mean? So it's like that odd feeling of, yeah, that's great, but the other team is dancing at the end. And it was, you're right, the whole heavyweight bout sort of cliches, they're all in there. But that's honestly what it felt like. I'll grab my notes here in a second, but the lead changes just in overtime was ridiculous. But then you saw, if you look in that second half, Kansas State goes up 9 real early in the half, and you're like, oh boy, this might get away. And then 3-4 minutes later, Michigan State's taking the lead on a AJ Hoger 3-point play. You think it might turn, and then Kansas State goes up 7 with what, 3-something to go. And you really think it's over then. And next thing you know, Tyson Walker's making another one of these crazy left-handed runners to tie the game. And then it's, the back and forth throughout overtime. I mean, we're going to sit here and we could dissect so many different plays late in regulation and overtime and say, if they just would have done that or just would have done this. To me, that's kind of just basketball, right? I mean, yeah, Malik Hall missed a free throw at the end of late in regulation that could have made a difference. And then you missed one in overtime that could have made a difference.
Hauser,
you have an offensive rebound you give up. Hauser, Joey Hauser, but roughly a 90% free throw shooter, misses the front end.
Yeah,
that's a turnover, basically. And that's when the game was starting to get out of hand again. And you go back and look at all these things and say, okay, if this one thing doesn't happen, or say they don't give up with the most ridiculous lob pass I've ever seen, it, with the game tied at 92 in overtime, when Marquise Noel throws this lob pass from 30 feet out, my first reaction is, what the hell is this idiot doing? I'm thinking he just threw the ball away. And of course, that doesn't happen. And Keontae Johnson soars through the air and hammers it home like it was the plan all along. All these little things.
Let's talk about that play really quick.
You lose a game like this, that play?
Let's talk about that play. All right, so there's some debate online because if you haven't seen the video of this ridiculous play, Noel's dribbling the ball up, he crosses half court, he looks to his coach, who is appears to be arguing with him about a play, and he seems to be arguing with him them back about the play, and they seem to be having an animated discussion. And the next thing you know, he lobs the pass, and Johnson goes soaring through the air and dunks it down. Now, there are people on Twitter, the conspiracy theorists out there, the detectives, the sleuths insist that that was a set play of him arguing with his coach, because if you look right when he lobs the pass, the coach gives a little hand motion pointing to the basket, and then he lobs it, no look, and goes soaring through the air. Now, after the game, the Kansas State coach said that it was not a set play, that that's just the vision.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
All right. I'm
He,
listening.
someone asked him after. Someone asked him after. Not in the press.
Right.
I contend, I don't care what he said to this person who tweeted it.
Yeah.
That was a play.
That looked like it to me.
So they get asked, they both get asked at the podium in the press conference, and they immediately are smiling and kind of like looking at each other. And, Noel gives the sheepish grin and then says, well, that's a basketball play, as Jerome Tang's looking at him laughing. Like, of course, yeah, they didn't say that's our play, and later you could say, no, that wasn't the play. That was the friggin' play. Come on.
Yeah.
I
Well,
mean,
it's just like it.
did they need it to execute it? I don't know, but
Yeah, it's just one of
that
those
looked.
such absurd. I mean, it's almost like Little Giants with Mark D'Antonio, right? I mean,
Yeah.
you never see it unless it works. I mean, it's something that you practice maybe, but you'll never see it unless it won the perfect time. And that was the perfect time. But if you look at him, they're screaming at each other, which seemed abnormal to be doing that at that time in
Yeah.
the game. And then right when he lobs it, you could see like a little hook with the hand from the coach, like he's there now, go ahead, And I mean, look, if it wasn't, it was amazing vision by a kid who has amazing vision. I mean, the passes he made,
Oh,
especially in
well,
that first half, were unbelievable. I mean, he could play baseball. He could pitch. I mean, he could probably throw a 95 mile an hour fastball. That's how good his passes are. Amazing vision. So if it wasn't a set play, amazing vision. But if it was a set play, which I agree with you, I think it was, that's amazing. I mean, that's just so, and I mean, just the camera angles that caught it and got it on Twitter, and it's a great play by a
And the
kid,
guts and the
by
the
a
guts
kid
to
who's
do
made
it.
one great play after another tonight,
Yeah.
playing
The
hurt
notion that the
second
coach
hand.
should have been hollering at him is
Well,
crazy. What was there to holler at him about?
exactly. It was cool. I mean, it look, those are the type of plays that are so absurd that you only see them when they work, and you only see them at the perfect time. And that was the perfect time. They needed a play, and they got it. And that was one where like I couldn't even fault Michigan State on that one. There were some plays where you could definitely fault Michigan State's defense inside,
Yeah,
especially
sure.
Matty Sissoko had a rough game inside, no question about that. There was just too many easy buckets on the inside, which led to a lot of his assists, by the way. And by the way, he did have 19 assists, this Noel kid. Well, just can't say enough about him. What a game and what a tournament he's having.
Tournament record.
Well,
Tournament
yeah,
record.
what a
19.
tournament he's having. He had 19 assists. It just so happens that his teammates made every shot when he passed the ball. I mean, every three-pointer,
Shot really
every
well.
tough jumper, you name it, they made it to give him the 19 assists. But what a game, though. I mean, look, you guys talked about him in their previous podcast. You and Wojo broke him down and said he was going to be a task, a challenge. I wasn't expecting that. I mean, what a player. What a player.
Yeah. And then he makes the chucks in the bank three at the end of the clock when he's falling down, right after he comes in after rolling his ankle, which apparently didn't slow him down at all. The funny thing is, so they bank in that three at the end of, in Tom Izzo's world, it happened more than once, which it didn't. It just happened the one time. They did make some, we're talking about the backs and forth, back and forths. They go up 80 to 75 late in regulation there when the Masood kid hits like a 27 footer. Now he's a pretty good shooter, but I think you're going to live with a 27 foot contested shot late in the clock. And these guys, those are the kind of shots they were making. And look, Michigan State made some big shots late, but they also had some pretty good looks, both Joey
He
and
didn't.
Tyson Walker, that didn't go.
Yeah, they were going in the first half and they didn't go.
Yeah, even when they came back from down, down seven here late in regulation, and Tyson made one, Jaden Akins made one right before that. Joey had made one in the corner that put him up three. So they
Yeah.
were starting to really hit. And then in that Man, that overtime, they had a couple looks, both Tyson and Joey, that didn't go, that really might have been the difference. And look, it's hard to criticize these guys. And I will tell you that Malik Hall, Joey Hauser were both pretty hard on themselves after the game. Both of them passed up what looked like better shots they could have gotten on that last possession as well. And Tyson Walker got the ball swiped from him. They were all kind of trying to take the blame. And to me, it's one of these games. You're not going to be perfect. There's going to be mistakes. You could go back and look at 15 different mistakes and say maybe but who knows how the games play out after those things. And Kansas State made mistakes too. They did actually miss some shots. I know it didn't seem like it. It's just the way it goes sometimes. And you got a great player to me who really made the difference. I mean, it was a great game, and they had a guy who was just that tiny bit much better than everybody else and makes everybody around him better. And that was, I mean, that was
Yeah,
it. That's,
the littlest guy on the court played the biggest. There's
yeah.
no question about that.
And he was, man, I tell you what, the dude from Harlem, he was loving it. That dude was having a blast. He looking over at the Michigan State group, there was Mateen Cleaves and Steve Smith and Charlie Bell. Isaiah Thomas was sitting with these
Well, and that
guys. I
was
have no idea how that came about,
well, he
but
was there, and well, Matt Ishbia was there
he's
too.
looked,
And there's a supposed
yeah.
connection between Ishbia and Thomas, but that was an interesting thing. Isaiah Thomas
Yeah,
is
Ishbia is good.
one of the best short point guards of all time. Watching this short point guard just
Yeah.
have a night to remember.
And Noel, every big play he was making late was turning over there telling them all about it. And it was, I mean, it was all good fun. It
Right.
wasn't like it was kind of an interesting sidebar to everything, seeing that go on. And someone says he looked up right before the lob pass was dribbling up and looked over there and said, "Watch this." And then dribbled up and then he threw that lob pass. I mean, the dude is he's having a hell of a run, and he is very confident in himself right now.
Well,
It's hard to
any
knock him though, man.
no,
And he and I'll say this, he did really go out of his way in the post-game presser to say Michigan State was awesome. He called it a rocky fight, just going back and forth at each other. So it wasn't he's a pretty like he's an easy guy to get behind and probably
well,
root for the
yeah.
rest of the way if you're a Michigan State fan.
That's the thing. I mean, watching this game, I mean, yeah, if you're a Michigan State fan, it sucks, but you also, as a sports fan, have to live in the moment and appreciate what you're watching. And I've seen a lot of college basketball in person this year. I've seen a lot of college basketball over the last 5, 10 years, and I can't say that I've been that enthralled in a game in years. I mean just into it. I really didn't care who won. I just thought it was fascinating. I mean, because I thought it was over, and then it wasn't, and then I thought it was over the other way, and it wasn't. And Michigan State, look, this wasn't, like Tom, as I said, it wasn't his best team. It wasn't a deep team, and I think that caught up to him. I think at the end, they weren't quite as deep as Kansas State. Kansas State could make some substitutions late based on offense defense matchups. Michigan State really couldn't do that. When you're not that deep and you have a couple of your guys not playing great, then you're really, it's tough to overcome that. And I think you saw that tonight. Sissoko wasn't great. I don't think Malik Hall was great. You had some guys step up. But early in the game, this guy's dishing these assists. I mean, just amazing assists. But their game plan was pretty good, because he got Michigan State to sell out on him driving, and just left all those guys open. And Michigan State, I think, took a little too long to adjust to that. You saw it early in the second half, though. They didn't sell out on him anymore. And he would they were going to make him shoot it if he was going to go up, and it didn't work out well for him. But early on, he got them to bite on him and collapse around him. And I think that definitely set the tone early.
Yeah, and the help side defense still was never great
No, there were
most of the
spurts.
night.
The spurts where it got better, but.
Yeah, Tom said too, he thinks sometimes guys got a little mesmerized. Guys that weren't covering him would get caught kind of watching him, and then lose their guy a little bit. And that's gonna happen in a game like that. But the other thing that's kind of interesting that I completely didn't notice until I'm looking at the box score to the game, AJ Hogard scored a career high 25 points.
He played well, and he played
And
well.
that,
He played well in those that 2 minute spurt too late, where he basically took over the game. He
he
was
did. I mean,
impressive.
he goes 10 of 11 from the line. I mean, so Tyson makes that three, and then AJ a couple times under, he gets a 3-point play after that, gets another runner in the lane. It just felt like he is deciding we're not losing this game. And Tom Izzo even said in that overtime, I felt like we were going to win. And it did have that feel for a second, but yeah, I don't
It was
know.
just a, you know, it was just the, you know, we've talked about how the margin of error was so small for this team in general, not even just against Kansas State, but in general, the margin for error for this team, we knew it was going to be small. Wasn't the best team that Izzo's ever had. It was a talented team, and it was a fun team to watch at times. But a couple of just plays. I mean, the ball off the fingertips, the 3-pointer by Noel, would barely graze. Was it Hogarth's fingertips or?
Oh, guards, it was tough to see too
It
because that
was. It was
camera
off. You.
was
It was. You could watch. You
there.
could see the ball deflect. It was definitely off his fingertips. And there's a play where a couple things went wrong. I mean, first of all, the ball ended up in bounds. I mean, Michigan State guy could have grabbed it, but thought that it was an air ball, so let it go. And obviously, that was big. They make the bucket right after that for a 3-point lead. And then the 3-pointer shot in the corner for Michigan State, where there's a foul on another player, where if that 3-pointer goes in, because he was up when the foul was called, that 3-pointer would have counted, and he would have got a free throw shot. So, just small things, little things that just, but you just when you just sometimes you get a sense, even in close games and back and forth, and Michigan State led, and then Kansas State had the big lead and whatever. But even when Michigan State took that lead, there's certain things you see in a game, and you just are like, man, it's got to be their night, and you just felt like maybe it's Kansas State's night, and like you mentioned, the bank three with time expired, by Noel. I mean, what a shot. I mean, there were people that said he traveled there. Come on. I mean, look, maybe, but traveling is, not often called when, when you're in motion. And it was a pretty amazing shot. Let's not take it away from the kid. And so that was amazing. But look, it all comes down to Michigan State had their chance at the end. Tom Izzo is great out of a timeout. I mean, he knows how to draw plays. I mean, people are bitching about him on Twitter now, but what was that all about? Well, they forget that the previous three timeouts that Michigan State had the ball out, they drew up a play and made the play or whatever it was. So I mean, he knows how to draw up a play. They just didn't
Well,
get a shot off, they didn't get a shot off.
and Tom talked about it after they essentially got what they wanted, but again, it was you saw both Joey and Malik pass up. Like the original option was a double screen to Tyson, it wasn't there, but you had your next two options had looks for a three and didn't take them. And I think it's one of those things we talked about this before that I think both Joey and Malik said they thought they could still get a better shot. Now, in retrospect, if you would have told them in that very moment, Tyson's going to be not going to be able to get one off, and he's, Noel's going to be in his face, then, well, yeah, hell yeah, they would have shot the ball. But I just think it was in their mind, like, this isn't a great shot. I think we can get a better one if I kick it over. You don't know at that time that when you get it back to Tyson, he's not going to be able to get a shot off. So it's the play essentially worked for the most part. It just no one pulled the trigger because they thought they'd get a little better, and
Yeah, and see,
it's a tough thing,
I do think in that situation that you need to. I mean, I think obviously, I mean, it's easier said that it's easier to sit here and watch a game from home and criticize and whatever. But with 13, 14, whatever, 15 seconds left, if it's not there for Tyson right away, then I mean, someone's got to get a shot off. That's the sour thing to this game, where it's an amazing game. Just an amazing experience watching this game. And you just wish that it didn't have, I mean, whether they make the shot or not, you just wish that it didn't have to end that way. I mean, like I put on Twitter, it was 44 minutes and 50 seconds of the best basketball I've ever seen combined, but it was just, it had to end that way to not get a shot off. And then, of course, you hear the people on Twitter saying, oh, that, I could have watched, Michigan, finish a game like this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, Michigan's not in the tournament. They lost in the NIT, but
That's
besides the
nonsense.
point,
That's the thing. That'll make me a little annoyed if I see people question, like, how many times could this Michigan State team have folded in that game and say, we're good?
Oh,
They
lots.
could have done it early in the second half. They could have done
Well,
it down seven with.
they could have done it against Marquette. They could have done it against USC.
Yeah, they're down seven with 4 minutes to go, and you think this is it, that's done. every single time they came back. You know, I heard someone the other day question that, like, I'm not sure if they're tough enough mentally. I was like, what the hell are you talking about? The mental part isn't the part I question with this team ever. It was always whether they had the guys, whether they had the depth, all those things. Were they simply physically good enough? And I would never question this team's mental approach, some of the stuff they went through this year, and just in games like this. I mean, you're right. You mentioned the Marquette game, they could have done it.
Absolutely.
And twice in the second half tonight, they could have easily cashed it in and would have been on, you know, you just said, oh, yeah, Marquette, you know, Kansas State just took over, and they didn't. And so, you know, the last play didn't work out. It's just like, you know, look, some people aren't going to be happy unless they're complaining. So,
You just want to see him
yeah.
get the shot off, and that's, you know, just any shot. And Joey
You
had
do.
the shot. And in looking at the video, Joey had the shot. He had 4 feet of space, and he just hesitated just
He did. Even a
a
pump
little too
fake on the
much.
guy and take it. But.
Yeah, he just hesitated a split second, and then the space was gone, and he didn't get it off. And so that's unfortunate. But you know, to hear the people, and when we predict this, you know, we talked about this before the last podcast, before this game, we talked about, you know, when they lose, there'll be fans criticizing Izzo, and you know, and that's exactly what it is on social media. And my point is, Izzo called several plays out of timeouts that worked at the end of that game, late in that game.
Yeah.
So, okay. And Izzo isn't out there. They had shots to take. His players didn't take them. It was a mental lapse at a bad time. And it ended what was a phenomenal game and will always be considered a phenomenal game. I mean, I remember the game. Look, even if it's a loss, I'm going to remember this game forever. I mean, I remember the Gonzaga loss in Hawaii, you know, remember that one with Adam Morrison way
Yeah.
back when, you know, but I remember it was a great game. It was a loss, but you'll remember this game. And so 98-93 Kansas State gets FAU now. FAU beat Tennessee. The hoot,
Isn't it funny how the bracket,
what a hoot, you know, well, that's the thing.
the bracket falls, man.
We talked about this tournament. We talked about how wide open it was. And specifically, we talked about how wide open this East region was.
Yeah.
And, any of these four teams could be in the Final Four. I mean, easily, you know, if something went one way or the other. And but what a hoot for the Owls, and they'll be going on to play Kansas State on Saturday.
What a hoot for the Owls. Look at you. It's like you're writing headlines again.
Right? How about that? Well, I've had plenty of time to prepare for this podcast. You've been writing all night. Really quickly before I let you go to bed and catch a plane in the morning. Well, where do we go from here with this Michigan State team? Looking forward really quickly to next season. I mean, the obvious question in this era of the transfer portal. And by the way, the 12 players on that Kansas State team were from the portal. 12, not one player on that Kansas State team started their collegiate career at Kansas State. So crazy. And then you have Michigan State on the side that's basically homegrown. You have a couple transfers, but they're long-term transfers. They're not just guys they brought in for a quick fix. So basically, and so that's what we talked about, right? We talked about how there's no right way to handle the portal. I mean, that proves it right there. You have one team that's all new and one team that's homegrown, and they play a basketball game for the ages. So anyway, that's a story for another day, but I think that proves where college basketball is now. There's no right way or wrong way to do this. It's just, you know, your philosophy and what pieces you can get, and what a great game. But anyway, next year, who's coming back? Who's gone? Who's graduating? Anybody? People are.
Well, Joey's done. I mean, he took could technically apply for another year. That goes back to his, you know, when he first got to Marquette and was out with an injury, a red shirt. But he's done, barring the most remarkable change of heart that's ever existed. I mean, Joey's done. He's told us multiple times, now this is it. So Joey's the guarantee, not back. The two you gotta really wonder about that are seniors. Our Tyson Walker, Malik Hall. My gut and indications are I bet Malik Hall's back. And Tyson, I don't know. To me, it's a toss-up right now. He's likely not an NBA guy. I mean, he'll get a shot. He'll probably be in a camp, but you know, he's not going to suddenly get taller. He's a guy that's going to probably make a lot of money playing overseas.
Well, Jet Howard might be Jet Howard's an NBA guy, apparently. So
Well, Jet Howard's got all the measurables. If you want to be an NBA GM and go ahead and take that guy, good luck to you.
yeah, Jet
But
Howard, of course, if you didn't read, Jet Howard declared for the NBA draft. He's one and done at Michigan. That was a little bit of a,
let me just say, a
surprise
dude
to, maybe it
who
wasn't a surprise to many people. It was a surprise to me. I just don't get it, but
a dude who didn't make anybody around him better.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Anyway, that's
That's a whole nother story too.
so
So I
Tyson.
think Tyson's a toss-up. The interesting thing with Tyson, if he comes back, you're wondering what that backcourt rotation looks like with Jeremy Fears coming in the freshman class. Obviously, AJ would be back and Jaden Akins would be back. Now, here's the thing about the transfer portal. I will say nothing surprises me anymore with the portal. So is there a surprise guy out there that transfers out of Michigan State?
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, there might be,
Right.
right? I mean,
Right.
you got some heavy hitting talent coming in. You got a really good recruiting class, so
And I think,
there might be a guy or two on that roster that's looking around, looking over his shoulder, and saying, "This maybe isn't for me anymore."
well, I don't think there's any, yeah, to me, there's no doubt that a dude like Pierre Brooks is, I would put a heavy bet that he's out through the portal. I mean, the guy hasn't played, and I don't remember last time he played. Another guy to keep an eye on is maybe Trey Holloman, a youngerish point guard, but the minutes are going to be hard to come by next year, if, especially if Tyson Walker's back. Does he rethink it? But the things you got to wonder, the surprise, we fall into the surprise if we're looking at dudes. And again, surprise being the key. Guys like AJ Hogard, does he want to go somewhere where someone's just going to let him shoot the ball 20 times a game? Now, is that smart? Nope. Would it be the best move for him? No way. But I mean, these guys don't exactly have the market cornered on making the smartest moves. I'm not saying AJ, but best college players in general don't always make the best choice.
Boy, he showed tonight though just what a special player
Yeah,
that he can be,
because
and
yeah, he
he
will
can
be,
thrive. He can
yeah.
thrive, and I think I would hope that he would know that he
Right.
can thrive.
This would be his team. It is his team. This team goes by
Yeah,
how he's playing.
even if Walker's, yeah, it's his team. Even
Yeah.
if Walker's back, it's his team.
There's no doubt. So that would stun me. The Jaden Akins thought of that would stun me as well. I know if Tyson Walker's back, that if Tyson's gone, you're going to see Jaden Akins' role increase even more. So who knows if that plays in any. I don't think it will. Again, these would surprise me. I don't think there's a concern there. But then you have to wonder about some of the bigs. You know, does Mahdi finish it out here? Does he go play one more year somewhere else? Does Jackson Kohler look and say, uh-oh, I might be getting squeezed here. What do I do? I think those are all things to think about. I don't know if they're necessarily going to happen. So, you know, knowing exactly or for sure who it is,
No, you never know. You're
that's
never
hard to say right now.
going to know that.
Yeah.
That
The
much.
idea, though, that this team comes back fully intact, and not counting Joey, I think is also a little bit of a stretch. So it's going to work. Time will tell on this one, but don't be, there could be a surprise one out there, man. It's, you got a pretty good freshman class coming in with a couple dudes like Jeremy Fears at guard. Xavier Booker is a big who I still think is a couple year guy. Don't expect him to walk in and be an All-American. Cohen Carr, really athletic wing. These guys are going to play, and it can be a good situation if they've got veteran guys around them because you're not counting on those freshmen to be the guy, right? So it could be a perfect spot for them. I mean, it has the makeup of a really, really good roster in terms of blending that experience and really good talent kind of incoming there. So it's just a matter of what's in everybody's head, man. And that's the day I got that one figured out. Jeez. So
Yeah.
who
Well,
knows? Who knows?
come on, let's brainstorm here. What do we need to do to bring Joey back? Here's
Joey's not coming back, man. And
thing.
it's
What's Joey gonna do? That's what I want to know.
Joey's going to get a shot in the
He's
NBA.
gonna get a
You're a
shot.
dude who's
He's
6'6".
gonna get a look. A lot of guys get looks, but he's an
Yeah, but
over.
I think he's got an actual chance. Being
Yeah.
a dude who's 6'9", who can shoot the ball like that, he's going to have a chance.
Right.
Now, he's got to get it done. But if that doesn't happen, again, a lot of these dudes make really good money playing other places. It
Playing
doesn't have to
overseas.
just be in the NBA.
Right.
So
It
Joey's going to
makes
make money
it.
playing basketball if that's what he wants to do. So there's also a thing. Guys get to a point, they're just, I'm done being in college.
That's
But
fine.
Joey's been in college a long time.
That's fine. But
You know.
we grew to like Joey Hauser this year.
Yeah. Dude, if Joey came back, that would be huge for this team because there's not really a player like him taking his place. You know what I mean? The guys coming in the freshman class aren't really like Joey. Maybe Malik Hall becomes that if he's healthy next year and is back. But there's You could have Joey come back and he's sliding right into the same role and you're not worried about what it's doing to anybody else.
Yeah.
There's Tyson coming back. Now you've got a really congested backcourt. I mean, it's better to have that than have no guys, but it's going to be an issue. Like, who plays? What's the rotation like? Who's happy? Who's
Well,
angry?
that's the thing. And that's the problem. That's the double-edged sword in college basketball now, because you used to be, when you're Tom Izzo and you're 20 years ago, and you used to be able to just, too bad if that young kid is pissed off that he's not playing. He's got a four-year scholarship. He'll get his time. Well, now, you that's not just about winning, but it's about keeping that guy happy so that he doesn't leave. I mean, you see this with, like, we hear about this all the time with the Michigan quarterback situation, right? We got to keep all these guys happy because we don't want them to leave, you know, because that's what they can do now. So, it'll be interesting. Yeah, Joey's going to be fine. He'll get a look because anybody his size that could shoot three is always a good thing. He's got to get better defensively, I think, but he can do that. And yeah, you're right. You go overseas now. I've been told that you don't make money instantly overseas. Usually your third year is when you start to make some money, some real money. But he's going to, yeah, if he wants to play basketball, he'll do fine. So I enjoyed watching his career, and, you know, I enjoyed, you know.
I'll say this. At this time last year, I would have bet there's no chance Joey's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take that for what it's worth. Yeah. But I really, really, really just think he's –
Well, and Izzo's
done my college tenant.
Yeah, and Izzo's always said that he's honest with guys about telling them what they should do, and he probably would tell Joey, "You've done your thing, and you know it's time to move on and go be you and go make your money, and that's fine." So, yeah.
The other thing to think about, and don't, I know Tom goes on and on about the portal. Don't think they won't look for guys too.
All right,
I know they. I'm just saying. Don't think they're done completely building this roster. So,
right.
I can't tell you names and exactly who, but you never stop looking. The roster building never stops now.
He's held a scholarship or two open, right?
He technically had three open this year.
Yeah. So, I mean,
now with four coming in, Joey leaving, it would, if nobody else left other than Joey, it would technically be full. Right. And Tyson came back.
Right.
It would technically be full.
You just know that's impossible.
I'd be stunned if Pierre Brooks is in a Michigan State uniform next year. Yeah.
There's no way that nobody transfers out. There's no,
right.
It's just college basketball today.
Right.
So, well, what a ride.
Yeah. Check back in a few months.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you get a little bit of time off here you got spring football probably coming up. So is there a spring game?
Coming up. It's already going, man.
When's the spring game?
Yeah, April 15th.
Even having one?
I don't know. It depends. Mel Tucker was there tonight. I could have asked him, and he would have not told me.
Right.
Because he doesn't answer questions. But.
Yeah, they were going. So the broadcast crew was going over that group. They were going through Charlie Bell and Mateen Cleaves and Matt Ishbia and Isaiah Thomas, blah, 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 blah. And then the other guy's like, that's Kirk
Plaxico.
Gibson behind them. That's Kirk Gibson behind them. Yeah. Well, I don't know baseball.
This just in, a former MVP and World Series hero, but whatever.
Yeah.
There's Charlie Bell.
Charlie Bell, I remember I had a class with him when he won the national championship, and I got him to autograph my Sports Illustrated. There was a really cool picture of him in there. So, and I don't know where that magazine is today, which really pisses me off.
No.
I know. All right. Well, I hope you get some rest. Hope you get some, at least some downtime. You've covered this well. 98-93, Kansas State is a winner in overtime over Michigan State in the Sweet 16. By the way, this is what is those 15th Sweet 16, right? This was just the fifth time he's lost in the Sweet 16 round. And 2 years.
What is he, 10-4 coming
in? Yeah, he was 10-4 in the Sweet 16 round coming into today. And two of the previous times when they lost, they made the Final Four the following year. So take that for what you will. Anyway, 98-93, Michigan State loses to Kansas State. Hell of a game. Kansas State will play on Saturday night against FAU for a shot to go to the Final Four, just like everyone predicted. And on the other end of the bracket, UConn, who is looking really, really good. They're going to play Gonzaga. A big comeback by Gonzaga. Did they win? Yeah. Yeah, Gonzaga won.
Yeah.
Gonzaga,
oh, my God. Excuse me to that thing. Oh, my goodness.
They had a comeback against UCLA. So Gonzaga will play UConn. Then we got some more Sweet 16 games tomorrow. But a lot of you listening to this probably don't give a shit because Michigan State is out. Tough way to – it's tough But again, if you just appreciate sports, I don't know how anybody, Michigan State fan or not, can't appreciate the game that we watched tonight. Just fun. And the refs let them play. And that's, it's amazing what happens when the refs can let you play. Sometimes a good game comes out of it,
Go figure.
Yeah. So anyway, 98-93, Kansas State beats Michigan State. Charbonneau's got all the coverage at DetroitNews.com. You got Wojo, who was there, who chimes in with his opinion. You could check that out as well. And Charbonneau will be also, I'm sure, analyzing this roster moving forward sometime in the coming days. So make sure you check that out. But now it's really late, 1:30 in the morning. Matt's in New York. He wants to go to bed. He's got a flight. Matt, we'll talk to you soon.
That's it. See ya.